Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. For boosted parlays to in-game odds in every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WYNNBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. We're also brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is DFS simplified. Head over to PrizePicks.com and use promo code SGP for a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. We're also brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io. That's SOBET.io. We're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on the head-to-head matchups. Download the app today or just head to betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Ooh, welcome everybody to the Die Hard Eagles podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my fellow diehards, Rob and Justin. And it was one for the ages. Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts both having a career days, career win for this new look Eagles team. They destroy the Saints 40-29. And the score definitely was that close, although it got a little close, a little nervous there. Tightening up there for a little bit when they cut it to two touchdowns. Thankfully, Sean Payton decided to go for a late field goal instead of really trying to get back in the game. And then Hurts answered with an awesome drive and an awesome juke move into the end zone. Eagles firing on all cylinders, back in the playoff hunt. LFG. Rob, how excited are you about this Eagles team, the win? Where are you at?
I mean, it's hard not to get amped. It was a great game, a good win over, at least the defense too. You know, one interesting thing about this game, the Saints had, you know, one of, if not the top rushing defenses, I believe. And we just kind of went at them head on with our offensive line. And, you know, I really think our offensive line is just unstoppable right now. They're playing at next level. Jordan Mailata had some unbelievable blocks. I saw a clip of Kelsey just having this great pull block as well. The team's just clicking right now. You know, they're not asking Hurts to do anything crazy, but Hurts is just playing next level with his running ability. And I got to be honest, he's running way better than I even thought he could. I mean, obviously we knew he was mobile, but he's shown some elusiveness and some real toughness. That's really hard to ignore. And, I know we've had the debates, is he a game manager? Is he not? And I don't think you can call him just a game manager. He might not be lighting the world on fire passing, but his running is just a next level thing that you have to value and you have to respect. And I think it's giving a lot of problems to the defense right now, and it's got to be helping our run game as well. or to our offense. Sorry.
I think people are kind of insulting him when they call him a game manager. Obviously they're trying to insult him again by calling him a game manager. You know, that's really like taking cheap shots at a quarterback because he's not winning a la Patrick Mahomes and throwing 40 times, but it's not like he's just managing the game and relying on an amazing defense. He's creating plays on third down when they need a play, whether it's running or passing, he gets it done. I mean, that last drive, they really needed to ice it with a touchdown, and he had an amazing run into the end zone, and he had three rushing touchdowns. Like that's really hard to do. And it doesn't feel like some, you know, freak outlier thing. It feels like, hey, this is who this guy is. And he's playing really well. He deserves some freaking credit. Let's go. Justin, where you at? How excited are you about Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni, the Eagles?
I'm with you guys here. I mean, Rob pointed out a lot of the great part about the offense there with the O-line. The run game is amazing at the moment. It seems like it can continue to go on throughout the rest of the season, especially considering who we're playing and the fact that we just played a great run defense and we were able to establish it and get things going.
Yeah.
You pointed out about the game manager thing. I think the funny thing is, yeah, it's been going around in our thread, right? I even have notes thinking about it as well. Sean, I think you pointed it out is the fact that, you know, he can create. And when we think about game managers, they're not really creating. They're just facilitating. And he's able to go to that next level, as you guys just pointed out. One thing I do want to point out, though, is I think this game was actually a defensive win here. These guys came out. They were able to hold them. We were able to get three turnovers off of them, one of them being a pick six. And for as much hate as Gannon has gotten, I mean, they did what they needed to do against a really unhealthy and banged up offense. You can't take that away. I know Simeon was the quarterback and Kamara wasn't there, but they did what they needed to do. Fourth quarter was obviously shaky. I think part of that, though, was the fact that there were three and outs and we're punting to midfield, you know, giving them good field position, but they were able to get that stop with the field goal and continue to get things going at the end. As you guys pointed out with that last drive with Hurts.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot can be said of like, well, hey, what if we play a team that has a really good rush defense? What are they going to do? We just saw it. They're going to run all over these pieces of garbage. I mean, we have an amazing offensive line, and that's why I was so frustrating with Sirianni early on when he had Hurts throwing like 30 to 40 times. It's like, one, he's a young kid. He's not fully developed as a passer. You have a strong rushing game. You have Jalen Hurts, a strong rushing quarterback, and you have this amazing offensive line. Like, why would you not want to lean into that? And, you know, it's just crazy. Little stat I found online, Ruben Frank, a longtime beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, most rushing yards versus the Saints this year. Number one, Miles Sanders, number two, Christian McCaffrey, number three, Jalen Hurts, number four, Jordan Howard. Like it's pretty impressive what we did to this so-called amazing run defense. Rob, what about you? Do you have a favorite stat or nugget from the Eagles' sweet win over the Saints?
Oh yeah, my favorite stat is JJ Arcega-Whiteside with the big catch and the play of the game. What was it? 23 yards. I know Justin was jumping for joy when that happened.
Yeah, I mean that they really that was a key play, and I think he actually got a game ball for that from Sirianni. Our boy Whiteside coming up big when we needed it most. I mean, that was like a key third down and nice catch and run for JJ Arcega-Whiteside. Justin, any chance you dig out the jersey for the next week?
Oh man, Sean, it hadn't even crossed my mind, but I think it might be deserved.
Yeah.
I'll dust it off. Why not?
As the only owner of a JJ Arcega-Whiteside jersey, I mean, I think it's just you and JJ when he's active on the 53 man roster, although we're joking, but I mean, honestly, Justin, who would you rather have on this team right now? Whiteside or Rager? I mean, Whiteside actually is productive in special teams. I feel like Rager's return abilities are horrible. I mean, I guess maybe you say Rager cause there's a chance he figures it out one day, but I haven't seen anything that would suggest that's the case. I would kind of go Whiteside. I mean, granted, they're both kind of massive busts, but I would kind of go Whiteside.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the Whiteside take. I mean, his blocking ability, which we pointed out, he hasn't really evolved too much as an actual wide receiver for us. But I think I still got to go with Rager. People can label him a bust. I understand that. But I think the other issue with him, and we were talking about this a little bit, is, you know, Hurts is still kind of learning the progressions to a certain extent. And Rager, obviously, it's on him to catch the passes when they come to him. But possibly that could be part of the issue. We saw Quez taking returns at the beginning of the season. They switched Rager in that position, and neither of them have been too flashy there. Part of it could be the blocking on special teams as well. I'm not saying I'm happy with Rager by any means. I don't think he's that great of a player, and eventually he needs to be replaced, but I don't know if you could pick Whiteside at this point.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, maybe you get a Rager jersey and you can just alternate Rager Whiteside depending on who you like that week, since you're huge fans of both.
I saw the stat. Rager in the last four games has 1.25 receiving yards per game. I mean, in the last four games, I mean, you would think you could get at least a 10 yard catch in there to bump your statistics. I mean, I think he also, I don't have a stat for this, but just based on the stats I've seen in the eye test, he probably has the most negative yard plays, you know, of any receiver, I'd say definitely, but you know, maybe even anyone on the team. There's just something going on there. I don't know what it is, but he's not producing. They're not really getting him the ball. You know, he's made it one or two nice catches maybe, but it's, there's just nothing coming there. And I don't know what to make of it. I'm pretty close to being out on him, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's yeah. I mean, he's just been a bust. Honestly, there's not much else to say. And I mean, thankfully it does seem like Devonta Smith is kind of the guy. And again, I mean, is it worth bringing up? Has these past few games changed your view on Howie? I mean, we look at, you know, they extended Maddox, they extended Goddard both off this same week. Justin, you seem to be, I don't know. I forget, where are you at with Howie? Cause I was definitely, we should have fired Howie, but now it's like, all right, he's got nice draft picks, got us a bunch of cap space. If he sticks with Hurts, I could be back on team Howie. How about you?
I think I typically lean more pro Howie. Now, I was out on him probably at the beginning of the season, but I have come back quite a bit. I was actually just talking to Rob earlier today about the fact that, you know, we cut Wilson, and that's one thing that I like to see, is the fact that it seemed like Gannon was able to make that decision, and we were able to get him out of that line, not even just bench him, but the fact that we cut him, he was supposed to be a decent signing at the beginning of the season. And he allowed, you know, Gannon to put in who he thought he needed for that position. So he gets some credit for that. He doesn't seem to be meddling as much as, you know, in years prior, which has been mentioned in the past. And like you pointed out, I mean, we're looking at cap space. I think we have the second highest cap space as of right now, right behind the Jags. And you pointed out the picks. So right now, and he also made, from what looks to be, a decent decision. I'm not 100% in on Sirianni, but things are starting to lean that direction. So how can you be mad at Howie at this moment?
Well, the roots are starting to take shape, Justin. I don't know if you know, we got some sweet, sweet flower power going. The team is totally, totally vibing. Rob, you were also just, we were just mentioning the TJ Edwards extension as well. And he's been good, man. I mean, Justin, you nailed it. It seemed like cutting Wilson and promoting TJ Edwards was something that the coaching staff wanted to do. And it wasn't beholden to what the GM did or how much they paid for the guy. And it's great to see that. And Edwards has kind of been flying all around the field. Like I still do think we need to use one of our first round picks on a defensive playmaker, ideally at the linebacker position in the first round. But I mean, Rob, TJ Edwards has looked pretty good.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I mean, I think, you know, between him and honestly, Davion Taylor's had some nice plays too. Unfortunately, it looks like he's going to be out for a couple weeks here, but so, you know, look, it's not a huge commitment. It was a 1 year extension on TJ Edwards, which, you know, I like it. You know, you get to see a little more of him. If, you know, he proves he can play. Maybe you give him another extension, but seems like a good move. And, you know, I just want to circle back too to that, you know, talking about Howie in the draft class. I mean, I think it should be recognized that 2018 class, we did not have a first round pick and another third round we didn't have. I might be forgetting the other round, but we essentially had five draft picks and we have now extended four of those guys. I don't know that we talked about this last week. I think it happened after, but we extended Goddard and we extended Maddox. Obviously we signed Mailata. And I'm blanking on who's the fourth one we extended, Sean.
Sweat.
Yes. Thank you. So, I mean, look, extending four out of five guys in that draft pick, I mean, that's not a good class. I'd say that's a great class for the picks that we had. So he's had a lot of misses. Don't get me wrong. I think all GMs have misses, but, you know, at least that class he deserves some credit for. And I like the Goddard signing and I like the Maddox signing.
Yeah. I mean, I like Maddox and Goddard as guys too. Like it does feel as if a young core of Eagles players that are easy to root for, that are fun to have around, is kind of emerging. Now we'll see. A lot of it does hinge on, I mean, if Hurts is the guy, obviously it makes so much, you know, it just makes building the team so much easier. And imagine if we just kind of stick it out with Hurts for another year, imagine the kind of talent you can put around him and build around him and really put him in the best case scenario. It's really, the sky is the limit.
Not to mention, Sean, just with that, I mean, the Eagles are going into next year actually with a lot of cap space. I mean, I think someone just circulated, I think we have over 20 million right now. So we not only are going to have draft capital going in next year and have the capital to sign those picks, but we could also potentially make a splash in free agency. And, you know, maybe we sign another wide receiver or, you know, another position that we need, and we may have the capital to do so.
Yeah. I mean, or we dump it all into an aging veteran like Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson, maybe he's hit the wall. I mean, I'm a massive Russell Wilson fan, but he certainly doesn't look like someone you want to sink a lot of capital into. Who knows about Deshaun Watson all this time off and the off-field issues and Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers really strikes me as a Philly guy. And that's the other thing. Like, Hurts is clearly a Philly guy. And I think that's a big part of it. And we saw kind of the demise of Carson was ultimately he didn't have that Philadelphia mentality a la Ben Simmons. There are two guys who are talented. I mean, I certainly Wentz's career will be remembered more fondly because he was involved in that 2017 Super Bowl and Simmons never was. But yeah, I think the idea of you have to have a certain mentality to play in Philadelphia, I think, is real. And I don't know if Watson, Rodgers, or Wilson, certainly they much more, you know, credentials as far as just pure passers, but they're farther along in their career. It'd be great if we could just build our team around Hurts, a super young guy who, you know, isn't even as old as Carson Wentz was when Carson Wentz took his first snap his rookie year. And that's the thing. Like, we're really just watching Hurts's rookie year. I mean, he's 15 starts in. If this was the sample of games, you know, was his rookie year and they just all played out in a row, no one would be thinking about moving on from him after this rookie year, even drafting him in the second round. It's kind of crazy when you phrase it like that. And I mean, Hurts top five, he's led the league in QBR last 5 weeks. There's something there. And again, he continues to improve. How can you be out on the guy when he continues to make himself better? But Rob, we got a new segment. Instead of Realist Rob, we are changing it to Roster Rob, where you notoriously short leash when it comes to coaches, players, very, you know, if I was a owner, I mean, Jonathan Gannon wouldn't have made it to like week four. So it'll be interesting to see if there's one person, and I think it'll be fair to open it up to coaching staff as well, player or coaching staff, who are you cutting this week?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. First of all, Realist Rob's not going anywhere. He's still going to be here. So you'll see him pop back up. But, you know, look, I came into this and I was going to say Jalen Reagor, but you know, as I'm sitting here talking, I just had a change of heart and I might be a week late on this, but I'm not giving up. I told you I'm out on him and I'm cutting Barnett.
Derek,
I cannot get behind him. He, you know, he'll make an, for every nice play he makes, he has like five dumb penalties, and I'm just over it. I don't want us to resign him. I'd rather us get someone else. So he is getting that number one cut job for the inaugural week.
Yeah, no, love it. RIP Derek Barnett. And that does seem like a spot where we will be using a first round pick come 2022. All right, we're going to move to a couple more season things. Obviously, we do have the Giants preview coming up later on in the show. Before we get to that, want to announce we have a contest here. We are giving away an autographed Brian Dawkins mini helmet. It's pretty sweet. It's obviously autographed by Brian Dawkins, not us, but it's very easy to enter. All you have to do is go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Eagles. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Eagles. Listen to an episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and then take a screenshot of you submitting the review. You submit it on the form, and then we will select a winner come week 14 for that Brian Dawkins mini helmet. Do not want to miss out. It looks pretty badass, and I may have to order one for myself. And I highly recommend it. And it's a good way to support the podcast. So sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Eagles. We're also brought to you, obviously, by WynnBET, the presenting sponsor of the Die Hard Eagles podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Head over to WYNBET.com to get that $1,000 risk free sports bet, in game wagering, parlay boost. They got it all over at WynnBET.com. And we're also brought to you by PropSwap, where America goes to buy and sell real sports bets. Just head over to PropSwap.com, use that promo code SGP, and you get up to a $500 deposit bonus on your first deposit there. No, I will not be listing my Nick Sirianni Coach of the Year ticket over at PropSwap.com, but that thing has a little bit of life here. If the Eagles, knock on wood, can make a run, I don't think that thing is quite cooked. I'm a little more worried about my Jalen Hurts MVP, although the MVP race is comically wide open. If he can continue to put the team on his back, look out, look out. And kind of perfect transition to our next segment here. I've opened my heart to Jalen Hurts. I'm considering buying a Jalen Hurts jersey. Well, actually, let me ask you this, Rob and Justin, should I buy a Jalen Hurts jersey? I want to get a sweet black Jalen Hurts jersey. However, it looks like they only have double XL, triple XL so far out there. Should I pull the trigger, or am I jinxing Jalen Hurts? Justin?
You're jinxing Jalen Hurts. Sean, we can't forget what happened with Wentz. And
that was a fat head
and how you just killed him. So,
they won the Super Bowl.
I'm usually all over Sean for these jinxes, but I say go ahead and get it. I think Hurts he doesn't get rattled. You know, one of the things I was going to say about him is it seems like no moment's too big for him. I never look like he's lost out there or he's rattled from the moment. He's poised. So I say go ahead, show your support. It's been long enough. He deserves it.
I don't see any reason to tempt fate here, Sean. You're going to do
I was really looking for a solid answer there. You guys are split. We'll toss it to the audience, but Justin, the readers really, or the listeners really want to know is, you know, you've talked throughout this podcast about how you really like Jalen, but you don't want to go all in on Jalen. You don't want to get your heart broken. I sense the same thing from my brother. No, he's damaged between Carson Wentz and Ben Simmons. He doesn't want to go there. He's worried he's going to get hurt again, but you can't be afraid to love again, Justin. Have you opened up your heart to Jalen Hurts so far this season?
You know, you sent me that picture of him being first to practice, and you know, I got overwhelmed and I sent you that text back. I said, I love Jalen.
Yes.
And you know, at first I regretted it. I wanted to take it back immediately, but I had to think about it. And you know what? Like, I think he's my QB1 now. I think even going into next season, regardless of what happens, as you pointed out earlier, he's 15 starts in to his career. And I like what I'm seeing. And the thing that I like most is he seems to be progressing with each start. He seems to be getting better. And I know we haven't seen, you know, a dynamic passing game from him yet, but he is starting to verge on that. You're starting to see some small steps, and the field seems to be opening up for him a little bit more. The game seems to be slowing down. Yes, he rushes quite a bit, but as we were talking about in our thread earlier today, I don't really care as long as we win. And, you know, if that's with Jalen, you know, having to scramble towards the end of games, I'm all for it. He's a leader. He seems, by all intents and purposes, to be a winner as well. Yes, we do not have a winning record as of yet this season, but we will get there. I believe that. And as Rob was pointing out earlier, I think he was talking about how, you know, we have faith in him towards the end of games with the ball in his hand. He takes care of it. And that's something that couldn't be said, you know, for our past QB.
Justin, in the same way,
just to break up, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in the same way that he protects the ball, he's also going to protect your heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to let him in, Justin. Don't be afraid. Yeah.
He's in. He's in, Sean.
What about you?
Justin Rob? Loves again.
Justin loves again. What about you, Rob? I mean, for me, I think Hurts is the guy. Obviously, anything can happen in these next six games, but I've seen enough that replacing him and what it would cost to replace him and be an obvious upgrade or even a potential upgrade, I just don't see it. And the fact that he's improving, and that's not even, you know, you factor in all the other intangible stuff he brings to the program. What else do you need to see from him? I get it. People want to see like Aaron Rodgers throwing all over the field, or even Justin Herbert's had his ups and downs, and he looks like a much more natural passer. But I would also say, like, even this past game against the Saints, there were a couple balls with some real zip that were well placed. Is Jalen Hurts the guy for you yet?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm pretty much there. I mean, again, I don't know who the better option is, and I think he's earned it so far. I mean, there's a couple things at play here as I look at it. I mean, one, he's not being asked to throw anymore. So, you know, the running game's working. Why would they do anything else? But I do think, you know, that game, what was it, last game or two games ago, you know, when DeVonta Smith had the big game and he threw two touchdowns to him. I mean, Hurts did have a good passing half there, and really they just dialed it back because they didn't need to throw anymore. So would I like to see that game down the stretch where he beats another team throwing because they took the run away? I mean, look, I don't want that to happen because we're clicking as it is, but yeah, I would love to see him do that. I do think he's getting better with the progressions. He certainly still has a long ways to go, but again, it's his 15th start. And I just think it's very easy for people to undervalue his running ability. And I mean, it's not just, it's really doing wonders for the offense. And I think ultimately it is going to help that passing game click even more, because at some point here in the near future, teams are going to have to start overcorrecting. They're going to want to make him beat them throwing, and you know, we'll see what he can do then. But I just think teams are going to have to start really going overboard to stop this run, and he'll have his moment to shine.
Yeah, but then I think he'll be able to do that. Like, he'll be able to beat, you know, he'll be able to throw enough. And I mean, I think the book is kind of already out. Like, hey, we're a running team. We've established it. We have an identity these past four games, and teams, even good defenses like the Saints, tried to adjust. I'm sure they game planned with the idea that we're going to pound the rock, and they still couldn't stop us. I think that's huge. And, you know, it certainly has been discussed a little bit, but I think this offensive line is having kind of a historic season, especially when you factor in some of the injuries early. There was a lot of speculation as to whether even Dickerson would play this season. He's come in and looked really good. Jason Kelsey's been, you know, a spry veteran, and Lane had his off the field issues. He's gotten back. He's playing strong. Mailata was getting into it. We saw a chirpy Mailata. I mean, it's
loved it.
Yeah, it was great. 'Cause normally he's like, kind of, everyone just says how mild mannered he is. It's really been awesome seeing this offensive line Justin, I heard a caller on another show mention maybe trading Andre Dillard. For me, I'm not looking to get rid of Dillard either, just because we've had injuries with the offensive line. I want to keep the depth around him, and what you could get for Dillard, probably not worth the trade. Are you agree, or you think we should try and move him?
I'm 100% with you. I think we keep him. I mean, we saw, what was it, against the Broncos. I mean, Dickerson went down for a minute there. Somebody else did. And I even mentioned last podcast, possibly training an O-lineman just because of those concerns and the fact that we need the depth. And I think we even pointed out that we kind of, I mean, you can never have too many picks, but we have so many picks this season that to get rid of a guy like Dillard, I don't really know what that does for you in the long run anyway. So I would keep him, hold on to him, keep that depth. The guys seem to have good mojo, and continue to work with him and continue to, move this line. I like what we're seeing. And as you pointed out, just the O-line right now, we're third in rushing yards overall. And one thing I noticed is that our longest rush is 31 yards. So it actually shows me that, you know, the almost 1700 yards that we have aren't just from big rushes from, you know, guys breaking out, making a couple of good juke moves. It seems to be a lot of hard hitting, you know, getting these guys 10, 15 yards at a time and keeping things going. We're averaging 5 yards a carry right now overall.
Yeah.
I think just to chime in with this offensive line that I think goes a little underappreciated. I mean, obviously everyone's high on Mailata and I think everyone's now recognizing how well Dickerson's playing. And, you know, between those two guys, they've really anchored that left side. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Dickerson long-term. If he stays there at left guard, if he plays right guard, if he moves to center, if Kelsey retires, but you know, I think the surprise there is really Driscoll at right guard. I mean, I don't think anyone coming into the season would have expected that, you know, Brooks would go down, who's, you know, a fantastic player, and, you know, Driscoll would step in and the line's would be playing better than it's ever played. So, you know, I do think we should be given some props there as well.
Yeah,
I agree. Just to chime in real quick, as Rob just said about Driscoll, I mean, Brooks, it seems like we can, like we pointed out, free up about $13 million in cap space if we cut him after June 1st. Now, looks like our cap space is pretty good at the moment, but if that's a possibility as well, that might be something that we definitely consider, especially since he's just been banged up so much over the past couple of years.
Yeah, I would have to crunch the numbers and see the breakdown, but I think we're probably going to move on from Brooks after this season, as much as it pains me to say it. He's a great guy, but man, he's just too old and he's just had too much of an injury history, especially for a guard. You know, it's not worth it. I mean, he's going to be too expensive. And I think you're right. I think we can free up some cap space by moving on from Brooks. I don't think it's crazy to say this. I don't remember the offensive line playing this well in a long time. I mean, even that offensive line in 2017, I think it's right up there. It's kind of crazy. And again, it comes to like, just let them run block. Offensive linemen love run blocking. And there's certainly a momentum to this team that's real. And it's been awesome to see. You know, we had the regular segment of doing the pick tracking, and that was more when things weren't looking so good for the team in 2021, but it continues to look pretty decent for our draft haul in 2022. Although not a great week for the draft picks because the Eagles won, obviously, the Dolphins won, and the Colts won. However, Carson Wentz, I think, played like 90-something% snaps. He looks like he's well on the pace. I think we're probably going to get there in like two games where we essentially lock up the 75% snaps. I mean, it's kind of an estimate because you don't really know, you know, how many snaps they'll play in the game. But I think next two or maybe like two games, knock on wood, if he can play full games, I think we should be good. Right now, the Dolphins pick is at 8, our pick's at 11, Colts at 16. Either way, it's still going to be a pretty sweet haul. Dolphins, unfortunately for the pick, have a pretty easy schedule. I still don't think they're that good. And the Colts, I mean, no, don't give any credit to Carson Wentz, but Jonathan Taylor went off. They beat the Bills. They're kind of making a run here in the AFC. So maybe that Colts pick and Dolphins pick not quite as good as we had hoped, but I still think the Dolphins pick will end up being top 10. Rob, anyone jump up on your draft board recently?
You know, no, I'll be honest. I haven't done the deep dive yet. So no one that I'm prepared to go on record with, but you know, I think in the coming weeks, hopefully we'll do some more draft discussion and be better.
We got plenty of the off season. We got the regular season. The Eagles are in the playoffs or the playoff hunt. We haven't gotten to this and it certainly was interesting. Probably the only time got really nervous during the game were the Miles Sanders fumbles. One, he fumbled and the Saints recovered, turned it into an easy touchdown to cut it to a 14-7 game. And the other one, luckily they blew his forward progress dead, but it could have been a similar situation where they would have taken over at the 10 yard line. Justin, it looks like Jordan Howard's going to be out at least for the Giants game, maybe back for the Jets game. He's not going on IR, so that's a good sign. But are you okay with Miles Sanders kind of taking back the lead role here?
Yeah, I'd say I'm fine with that. I mean, I know he had that fumble during the game and he ran out of bounds inexplicably with like,
oh my God, again.
Come on, man, awareness. But I mean, you know, he was our guy to start the season. And for all intents and purposes, I thought he was going to take over that role with Howard healthy anyways in the next coming games. I think this speeds it up a little bit more. But as long as Sanders is healthy, why not give it to him? Like we said, I think he's a little bit faster. He's a little bit more shiftier than what Howard can bring. I don't know if he necessarily always falls forward as much as Howard does, but I think he could get you more overall yards. I do, though, just real quick, Sean, want to go back to the picks. I think one thing to take into account, too, with the fact that, you know, these picks are getting higher in the draft, or I guess you would say lower, is the fact that, I mean, that might be more of a reason to hang on to Jalen for anybody who might be on the fence with him, is the fact that if you did want to get one of the quarterbacks that we would really like, you're probably going to have to give something up in order to reach up and get one of those guys at this point, because, you know, the Lions are probably going to take a guy, I would assume, with the way Goff has played, the Texans as well. So, I mean, I would think that this should be more of a reason, as it seems that we're going to be picking higher in the draft, that it's not going to work out in our favor if we did try to go for a QB.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. I mean, the problem is the slim pickings, and every day or every week that our picks kind of go down lower, what we'd have to do to get into that top spot continues to ratchet up. All right. Speaking of playoffs, we are in the mix. Everyone, you know, there was some thought that maybe I was crazy. Maybe I'm some homer who just loves Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. All those things are true, but there is something, they're right in the mix here for the playoffs. Now, currently they're in the number 9 spot. However, and obviously there's that 7th playoff spot. So probably looking at 6 or 7, although let's be honest, they're only 2.5 games back from the Cowboys. They do play the Cowboys one more time. Not gonna get crazy and talk division, but right now ahead of them is the 49ers at 5-5. Who they have the tiebreaker over, the Saints, who are 5-5, who they have the tiebreaker over, and the Vikings, who are 5-5. And we haven't played them, so you don't have the head to head tiebreaker there. Rams are 7-3, Bucks 6-3. This is, we can probably make Bucks 7-3. Looks like they're going to beat the Giants here. I'm going to go out on that limb. But Justin, you were kind of laying out some possible scenarios. How do you see it shaking out here? It feels like if we get to 10 wins, we're definitely in. 11 wins, obviously, we're definitely in. Win 9 wins, it's going to come down to some tiebreakers. 8 wins, I think we'd have to get kind of fortunate. Although I wouldn't be shocked if the 7th seed is 8-9 and just has the right tiebreakers. But what's your thoughts on our playoff situation here going into next week?
I mean, I think that it could potentially be a 3-way tie for those last 2 spots. I think from what, I don't have it in front of me anymore, but I think between us, San Francisco, and the Saints, I mean, the Saints had laid some eggs the past couple of games, which is great for us because it actually brings that 6th spot into play now. Potentially, I mean, if 2 spots are up for grabs there, since they haven't been able to lock it up, it'd be nice, but I think at 9-8, it could end up being the Saints, us, and San Francisco overall. I know you and I talk, Sean, and yeah, you seem to be convinced that we could run the table and knock off the Cowboys for the division, but I'm not so sure of that.
Well,
you can see though, I would love it. It would be so epic. I don't even want to think about it because it just sounds too good right now, but I love the idea.
Yeah. I mean, look, if we go 11-6 Cowboys, really, we'll find out. I'm not going to start thinking about the division till we get past Thanksgiving. If the Cowboys can lay an egg on Thanksgiving, which they've done many a times, I know because I bet against the Cowboys every Thanksgiving, then, you know, then maybe we get a little interesting there. Not quite ready to go there yet, but the problem is we would need to run the table and probably even get some help there. Cause if they, I mean, they have a pretty easy schedule, as well, they're kind of remaining a team. So we'd have to get a couple breaks there, but Rob, where are you at with the playoffs? Should we be expecting playoffs? Is that crazy to expect this team to make the playoffs right now?
I mean, part of this is just so frustrating because if we would have won a few of those games that we could have easily won early in the season, you know, San Fran being one of them, and you know, we could be, you know, in the driver's seat so much more. But look, I mean, I think we're in a good position in terms of our schedule. I think we can win, you know, pretty much all these games down the stretch. Obviously, Dallas, last game of the year, maybe the toughest game for us, but at least it's at home. But at least it gives us something to root for, and at least it's going to be exciting down the stretch. I just want to continue to see the team grow and play well. And look, if we miss it, you know, let's go down swinging. So, I mean, the one thing I think we're probably all feeling good about is that over under 6.5 game wins.
I think
that's looking like a pretty good line at this point.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It feels pretty good sitting at 5-6. Just trying to get over that 6.5. I recently dug out my ticket from WynnBET there and was just eyeing it up. Hopefully not putting any bad mojo on it. All right, we're going to move over to the Giants preview. Before we get to that, I want to shout out prizepicks.com. DFS simplified. You think you got some takes on the Eagles prop bets? I've been just hammering these Jalen Hurts over rushing yards prop bets over at PrizePicks. It's really been kind of one of the easier ones to predict. They haven't moved it north of 50 yards and he just keeps going over. Again, highly recommend checking out prizepicks.com using that promo code SGP, get that sweet 100% deposit up to $100. Active in a bunch of states, even states like California that doesn't have legal prop betting. You know, PrizePicks is active in their state. Yeah, it's crazy. They keep setting the line so low. I mean, the last six games, Hurts has gone over 55 yards or more, and they keep setting it south of 50. I imagine the Prize Picks line will be higher this week, but still feels like a good bet. We're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. That's right. You want to play head-to-head fantasy football? It's pretty fun. You just sync your fantasy football league, and then Better Fantasy sets betting spreads, totals, money lines, prop bets. It's great. It's a lot of fun. It's free to play. They have free prop games as well. And one of the guys who founded it, also a diehard Eagles fan. So support him. Actually, he went to high school at Bethlehem Catholic. He's local to where we grew up. So support a local business too. And their app's great. It's really fun. Like once you sync your fantasy football league and then you start sending screenshots to your buddies, you're really going to see how fun this is. Just go to betterfantasy.com/SGPN, BETTOR fantasy.com/SGPN. And we're also brought to you by SoBet. SoBet, man, they're tapping back into the roots of gambling, going mano e mano, one person versus the other. I think the Eagles are going to cover. I think the Giants are going to cover. Let's just settle it head to head. It's really fun to bet against your friends. It's called social betting. I think you're going to enjoy it. Just go to sobet.io, SOBET.io. Get you set up there. Again, you can kind of, it's free to play. You can come up with the craziest bets in the world and try to outsmart your buddies. See who can bring home the most prize dollars. Just head over to SOBET.io. SoBet. Justin, we'll let you kick things off here. Eagles, Giants, rivalry week here on the podcast. What do you got for the Eagles? What do they need to do on the defensive side of the ball?
I mean, I think it just comes down to rattling Danny Dimes. Doesn't seem like Saquon's 100%. I'm not overly concerned about the run game at the moment. They seem to be a pretty balanced offense, averaging about 240 yards a game passing and 100 rushing. I think as long as we can get that pressure going, I think things will work out. And I think that pressure should actually start with the corners like we've been doing. Get those guys pressing, get them on man. Allow, you know, our line the extra half second or whatever they need in order to get to Danny, rattle him, and we should be successful.
Yeah, I mean, mission one, turn Daniel Jones over. It's pretty easy. Just get pressure on him. I think Darius Slay, knock on wood, he's okay. I know he entered the concussion protocol. It's crazy. He's had three touchdowns already this season. He's been a huge asset and really a gift to this defense. I'm slightly worried that Davion Taylor looks like he's on IR for a sprained knee. He will be out, but hopefully we should be able to smother him. The guy that worries me on the Giants offense right now, honestly, I would say is Kadarius Toney. Kind of a wild card off the field, interesting character, but you know, just watching him on this, in this Tampa Bay Bucks game, he really is a guy that's pretty elusive in space. And if we're without one of our more athletic linebackers and Davion Taylor, I could see him kind of being a handful for this defense. But as long as the D-line gets some pressure and we continue to play aggressive, which we did against the Saints, and we seem to do when we play below average quarterbacks with Daniel Jones clearly is, we should be okay. Rob, what about you? What do we got to see from the Eagles defense come Sunday?
Yeah, I think you guys kind of touched upon it. I mean, obviously getting pressure on Daniel Jones, I think he's good for a pick if you can get some pressure on him. But you know, I kind of just want to see the team consistently bring the pressure. I mean, I think even in that Saints game, we started out great on defense and really offense, which we'll touch upon, but, and then we kind of had that lull where we almost let them back in the game. And I think we kind of took our foot off the gas a little bit and got a little less aggressive. I'd like to see us just, you know, kind of keep the pedal to the metal for the whole game, so to speak, in terms of, you know, our aggressiveness and, you know, keeping pressure on the quarterback and not lay off when you have those lulls and give another team an opportunity to get back in the game.
Yeah, that's going to be big. And obviously we are heading to the Meadowlands, place where the, for some reason, the Giants, you know, much like we struggled at home early on in the season, got our first W. Giants, I mean, it's been like, since they've been horrible, which has been a lot, basically like since they stopped winning Super Bowls, the Giants have been really bad. I think they are the worst team in the past 5 years against the spread at home. I don't know what it is. That stadium is kind of a dump. It doesn't have a lot of energy. It's a 1 o'clock East kick. According to WinBet, we are a -3 favorite. A 47.5 is the total, but switching over to the offensive side, Justin, what do you want to see from the offense?
Last game, it was one where we thought Hurts was going to have to pass a little bit more because of the run defense of the Saints, but I think this one's just the opposite. I think we just need to run the ball, hitch our wagon to Sanders this game, allow him to get us some yards. They're letting up almost 125 yards a game rushing. So I would see what we can do there. And you know, have Hurts do what he does, which is, you know, pass when he needs to, but no reason to force it. Hopefully our defense can, you know, stall them out a little bit. We could get the lead like we've been doing in the games that we've been winning, and we can prevail through the run.
Yeah. You know, getting the scouting report from Ryan, Real Money Kramer. And it does seem like the Giants struggle in the middle of the field. So I expect Dallas Goedert to have a big game, and Goedert is really emerging as you know, it's basically Goedert and Devonta Smith are Hurts' main two guys. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see another big Goddard game come Sunday. I think that's a tough matchup for them. They don't really have the safety or linebackers to kind of match up with Goddard. And I really, really like our chances there. Obviously continue pounding the rock until they stop it. But I do think Goddard is going to be the key to the offense. What about you, Rob? What do you got for the offense?
Yeah, I don't think we need to do anything crazy here or get too cute. I mean, honestly, I think our offensive line is playing so well that we don't need to scheme around their weaknesses. We just need to play to our strength, keep that run game going and dare them to stop us. And, you know, if they do stop us, then I think Nick's got to be ready to adjust in game. But I would just come in with the same game plan we've had and, you know, make them beat us. And, you know, if the Saints, who were one of the best running defense, couldn't stop us, I don't think the Giants are going to be able to either.
No, you hear that, Giants fans? You can't stop us. Let's go. Go Birds. Justin, what about you? What's a diamond in the rough, angle here that we haven't talked about that you think could be the difference in the game come Sunday?
Well, I actually already alluded to that difference. And I think the difference for us this week is going to be Miles Sanders. You know, he's averaging 5 yards a carry. Our offensive line has now taken over. And, you know, they did it a little bit with him last game, but prior to him getting injured, you know, we really didn't see it much. So I think this is actually going to be his game to shine. Boston's a good, you know, secondary back, and Gainwell has been non-existent. We know Howard's injured. So I think Sanders is really going to get a lot of carries this game and really make things happen for us.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a Sanders game as well on the ground. Maybe get him involved in the pass catching a little bit more. All right, time for the Eagles Nest player, who we think the player of the game is going to be, and our final score predictions. Rob, I'll let you go first. What do you got as the score, and who's going to be the difference maker?
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Eagles again. Keep the train rolling.
Go realist, Rob.
I'm going to say 34-17. I'm actually with Justin. I think Miles Sanders has a big game. I think he's going to break a run for a touchdown of, you know, 30 plus yards. I just think he's due. He's shown a propensity for it. And I think this is his game to do so.
Yeah, that's fair. What's the final score?
I think, did I just say 34-17?
34-17. Oh man, that's a pretty good score. So you got him covering the spread and hitting the over. Oh, am I crazy to go 35-14? I think we're going to put it on these Giants. I mean, they're kind of a beaten down team. I think they're not going to match our physicality. And I think the confidence of this Eagles team right now is sky high. We're protecting the ball, pushing people around, and the defense is opportunistic. 35-14. Let's fucking go. Also on the over and them covering. And I mentioned it earlier, but I when we talked about the offense, I think Goddard is going to be the guy that has a massive game. Calling Goddard, you know, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns, Dallas Goddard. Let's go. Justin, close it out. Who do you got and who's your player of the game?
All right. I got the Eagles winning this one. You guys make me so nervous because I also said 34. I know you said 35, Sean, but I got
to go wrong.
34-24, which makes me very nervous, but I'm going to stick with it. And we all seem to have faith in our offense right now. I love it. The player of the game or the next player, you know, I picked Devontae, I think the last 3 weeks. And the first week I took him was because it seemed like, you know, it was a good time to buy. People were down on him. This week, you know, whose stock is all time low right now is Reagor. I'm going to pick him. I'm going to say he has at least a touchdown. He has at least 50 yards and he redeems himself somewhat.
Justin, I got to say, I'm a little disappointed you didn't double down on Whiteside.
Oh yeah, that's true. I should have, but I'm going to stick with Reagor right now. It's a good time to buy. Maybe I'll invest in Whiteside next week.
I think he has, Rob, I think he does have secretly have a Reagor jersey. He's just afraid to tell us.
It's possible.
All right, that'll do it for the Diehard Eagles podcast. Make sure you subscribe, and more importantly, sign up for our nice little contest there. Get yourself a chance to win a Brian Dawkins autographed mini helmet. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com, /Eagles. Of course, be 18 years old and be in the United States. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Eagles. Get in there for your chance to win the autographed Brian Dawkins mini helmet. The instructions and how to enter are all there. Very easy to do. And hey, who doesn't want a Dawkins? I mean, how badass would that be if you have a Dawkins mini helmet on your office desk? That's a real power move. Brian Dawkins would approve. I know. So roll the dice and hopefully you win. Thank you guys as always for tuning in to the Die Hard Eagles podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. For the Die Hard Eagles podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green. For Rob, for Justin, go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.